Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the show. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out in Las Vegas. Your other host today is Josh Applebaum. He's on East Coast. He's out in Boston. Josh, how are you?
Pritch, I'm doing great. Happy Tuesday, my man. Great to be with you. And I haven't seen you in a while. We got a lot to talk about. We got to recap that just crazy weekend in the divisional round. I'll tell you right now, Pritch, great day for dogs on Sunday. Not as great on Saturday, but we got all these divisional or NFC and AFC championship games that are really moving. So I'm excited to talk about these games with you because both Tampa and Green Bay, Buffalo and KC, we're seeing opening lines moving off the opener, action coming in. And we got a great show today because we'll be talking a lot of college hoops, 25 games across the board. Excited to have on Bruce Marshall, editor of the Gold Sheet, to talk about a bunch of games. And then our buddy Stephen Hennessy from Golf Digest here to talk about a little golf here. So a lot going on, Pritch. And don't forget about NBA and NHL. It's going to be a great day.
It's going to be a great day, and I love it because we got so many sports on the calendar right now, NHL as well. I'm going to learn something today. Our audience is going to learn a lot from Josh Applebaum when it comes to betting hockey today. So cannot wait to get to that as well. So let's start with the National Football League. When you think about starting to preview the conference championship games from the divisional rounds, what is your takeaway from what you saw? Let's start with the Buffalo Bills against the Ravens. Certainly you saw the game in terms of what the Bills were able to do to prevail and move on. But your thoughts as we preview the matchup against the Chiefs?
Yeah, so a lot going on here. The first thing I look at is number one, I try to dive into a little bit of trends to get a starting off point, see if we can find anything meaningful trends, not trends like, you know, hey, every Tuesday when I eat a turkey sandwich, the over hits, nothing like that, you know, stuff that maybe is a little more predictive. So one thing that I did dig up is over the past decade, when you get to these conference championship games, these favorites win about 75% of the time. They cover a little more than half the time. So that's just something to take away right from the start. But the first thing I noticed, Pritch, number one, when you're looking at Buffalo, Kansas City, the big question mark here is obviously Patrick Mahomes. And I did hear, Chris Andrews was on VSiN talking about how everyone's rushing to put a number out there and they're a little more cautious, saying, hey, you know, Mahomes suffered that concussion. We don't know if he's going to play or not. Most likely he will, but with the protocols and concussions are hard to manage, we really don't know what's going to happen. So they're a little more cautious putting out that number. But kind of what I noticed today, Pritch, is that you are seeing a little bit of liability here on the Buffalo Bills. A lot of these books opened with the Chiefs listed as a 2.5-point favorite or a 3-point favorite. Any book that was 2.5 immediately went up to 3. But really over the last 24 hours or so, we're seeing a lot of liability or money coming in here, at least early money, on the Buffalo Bills. Because when that number was 3, painted across the board, minus 110 juice both sides, we then started to see over the past day, a lot of these books are dropping to 2.5. A lot of these 3s are really juiced up for Buffalo, +3, minus 115. So we all know 3 is a key number. We're all waiting on Patrick Mahomes. They also might get, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. So a lot going on here, Pritch. But early on, it looks like a little bit of movement here toward Buffalo Bills, +3.
Yeah, when I remember the Buffalo Bills from this standpoint against the Ravens, Josh, and that's Josh Allen, the ability to make plays, certainly at the quarterback position, but he took care of the football, too. I mean, a lot of times, look at Cleveland with the turnovers. Those turnovers and lack of possessions in playoff games, divisional rounds or conference rounds as well, when you think about when you squander a possession and how vital that can be, that's the value of Josh Allen right now and how he's playing. Not only the passing efficiency and the yards and certainly hitting Stephon Diggs, being able to run the ball too, but just taking care of possessions, right, and being efficient that way. Now, the concern on the other side with the Chiefs, can Henny do that? Mahomes, you kind of rely on that, even if he's not 100%. But if it is Henny, I just maybe you do wait a little bit. I know you're talking about the line movement right now, that decision on Mahomes versus Henny, I mean, that's the key decision this week, certainly.
Yeah, it's a massive one here, Pritch. And I did do some digging here just, you know, across the market, looking at a bunch of different sports books. I mean, we're talking about a complete flip if Henny starts this game. I mean, you're probably looking at, you know, Bills -3 on the road, wow, you know, instead of +3, something like that, you know, give or take a half point here or there. But that's obviously going to be critical. I mean, you got to give it to Henny a little bit, you know, obviously through that long touchdown or that long interception in the end zone that kind of gave the Browns.
That was like a punt.
Yeah, it was pretty much a punt. But you got to give him some credit too. Remember that run he had outside the numbers, pick up the first down. And then, you know, obviously what was it? Throwing that ball, that last play of the game to get that first down to really ice the game. So obviously, you know, Henny versus Mahomes, it's night and day. So number one, I think if you're betting this game, you know, you could say to yourself, okay, money's leaning towards Bills here. Maybe it goes to 2.5. I want to grab the 3. But then also, what happens if Patrick Mahomes is upgraded to probable? You see this line go, you know, to 3.5. You know, doesn't move the other way. So this is a game that I really walked the tightrope on. And kind of just see, and really we're at the mercy of Mahomes and his status here, Pritch. So, Pritch, you know, I know you were a star football player. Did you ever have a concussion, or how does that linger? How does that affect you? What do you think Mahomes is going through right now?
Well, I had several, Josh, three that I knew of that got diagnosed. The other ones are, you know, the smelling salt and go back out there, Pritch. We need you, that kind of thing. So one was severe enough to send me to the hospital. It is nothing that I wish upon my enemies out there, Josh. It's you go from not knowing where you are to just trying to focus to getting this intense headache to getting the chills as if it's freezing outside, like it's 20 below. And then you get the shakes as well. And then, okay, you know what? You probably should go to the hospital. After all that happened in a matter of an hour. So I had to spend a night in the hospital, Josh. And you spend a night in the hospital, they, you know, they give you medicine, they look at you, and certainly they only let you sleep for an hour at a time because you don't want to fall into a coma, right, Josh? So it's scary. It is scary. That sending me to the hospital that way, certainly you take some time off after that. You know, your other variety concussions, I guess, if you will. I mean, you kind of bounce back and you try to avoid contact to the head or neck area again. See, I think Mahomes got whiplash more so than a direct hit on a helmet. There's no air in a helmet for a quarterback either. They don't like to do that. So, his recovery is going to be very, very interesting. It all varies, certainly. But he's going to go through the protocol. It's out of the Chiefs' hands. I expect him to play, though. I really do. The other concern for me, though, is his other injuries. Whether it's the foot, is a sprained toe, or is it a broken toe? We just don't know that. We haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah, great point, Pritch. And again, he was hobbling there. You know, there are a couple of possessions where, you know, he's running for a first down. He's, you know, he's walking with a weird gait. Does he have turf toe? Did he get stepped on? You know, what's going on there? So that's a big question mark as well. And I think, you know, kind of the, I don't know what you want to call it, not kind of weird or funny. It's really not funny. But Andy Reid is saying, hey, you know, if this was back in the day, he probably would have come back and played in that game.
Right.
So, you know, that's just kind of tells you today's modern NFL. Obviously, it's a violent game, but with those protocols, you'd like to think that it, you know, it's helping protect these players. But I also look at, you know, Casey with the investment. You gave him $500 million here, Pritch. And do you really, you know, everyone wants to win this game. You want to go to the Super Bowl. That's, you know, that's the number one goal here. But do you want to jeopardize? I don't know if how. See, here's the thing with concussions. There are different grades, different variations. I've never had one, Pritch, but, you know, I watch hockey. Patrice Bergeron was a star for the Bruins. He got a concussion, knocked him out an entire year. Mark Savard, another player, you know, so you really don't know how this may handle moving forward. The one thing I will say, Pritch, which is interesting, and you're my over guy because you helped me cash all my over bets. Mm-hmm. I will say the one immediate movement here, aside from kind of the painted KC3 trending toward Bills right now, is that you are getting a lot of money here on the over. You know, a lot of books did open here around 50.5, 51, kind of a right around the 50 mark. And they immediately shot up as soon as that number was released. Some books got even up to like 55-ish, came back down a little bit here. I think there's a little buyback. Any books that hit 55.5 came back down. But right now you're at 53.5. You're kind of right on that number, and we're with the hook with the 53.5. Does it go up or down? But just it's interesting to me that Mahomes' status is up in the air, yet you're seeing pretty consistent movement toward this over. So what does that tell you? Whether it's Henny or Mahomes, maybe against Josh Allen, they're expecting a lot of points either way.
Well, two things I've noticed so far in terms of the weather's going to be nice, even though that's a 6:40 p.m. Eastern kickoff right there. The weather's going to be nice out there in Kansas City. And then you have the Josh Allen effect. I mean, you have MVP caliber quarterbacks and these conference championships. You know, if Mahomes plays, right? I mean, you're talking about the best of the best here. And Josh Allen, even though they only scored 17 points, he still threw the ball 37 times in that game against the Ravens. And I think on the other side, the Bills, Rashad Breeland, too, that's another concussion issue from a secondary player for the Chiefs that they're going to have to replace and adjust to. And I think Buffalo has been protecting Josh Allen well in the pocket, even though they don't run the ball that much. And then Josh Allen, the confidence that he's playing with, and then also the trust that Daboll has for him right now, I expect him to throw the ball 35 to 40 times in the game against the Chiefs.
I'm with you, Pritch, and just based on you know trends that we look at with Buffalo, they're one of the best over teams this season. I mean, to the over, they were 12-5-1. Obviously, you have Stephon Diggs kind of doing whatever he wants out there, and if you're down Breland too, that's going to make it even harder to defend. And also, you know, Tyreek Hill, Kelsey, how do the Bills match up against those receivers as well? So that's interesting to note. And then remember, these teams did, Pritch, back in week six. Remember this game? This was KC winning 26-17 against the Buffalo Bills. So you do have the second, you know, matchup here, kind of revenge game overall. The other thing with the Bills, they do have one day of rest advantage. You know, I don't think it's a huge thing, but you have seen a little bit historically, an extra day in these games makes a tiny bit of difference. Remember, the Bills played on Saturday. KC played on Sunday. So the other thing, Pritch, is that, you know, remember when we were doing our New Year's show, when we were talking about giving out gift cards, our Jimmy Fallon, you know, thank you to you.
Thank you, Notes.
Thank you, Notes. Exactly. Thank you. I finally got it. But the Kansas City Chiefs, they're 1-8 ATS in their last nine games.
Right.
This is becoming a recurring theme here, Pritch, where they're winning these games, but they're not covering. And I think what we saw this past game, and again, I was, so we did Lombardi line this weekend, Pritch, because I didn't tell you this, but remember that line was 10 across the board with the Browns all week at 10, maybe a little liability, you know, juice wise trending to 9.5. But then on that day, the game day, we saw that line come all the way down to 8. So I'm holding a 10 ticket. I'm like, man, this is great. I got 2 points, you know, closing line value. The Chiefs start rolling. It looks like, you know, they're going to blow them out of the water. Then Mahomes gets hurt. So obviously anything can happen in these games, but I think the teachable moment there is, yeah, maybe you got a little lucky if you took Browns in the points, but that kind of movement, if you're beating that closing line, if you're getting a better number than what, you know, the books are offering after the fact, that's a good sign, you know, long-term if you're going to beat the closing line.
Absolutely. And I think that big line too, the teaser crew actually teased up the Browns. because of the fact that the Chiefs hadn't been covering. And so, you're going to give me 16 points there. I think the teaser crew was happy with that. I teased the Chiefs down, actually, so was fortunate about that. You know, one thing that came to mind as we're talking about this game, too, is Mahomes being banged up. If you are Buffalo, and this goes to the over talk here, Josh, if you are Buffalo, you kind of want this game to be a shootout. I mean, Patrick Mahomes not at full strength, as opposed to keeping Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. You see what I'm saying?
I totally agree. The other thing, you know, they may get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back, but one kind of injury that I think it's flying under the radar is Sammy Watkins. I mean, Sammy Watkins not being out there, I mean, he's a guy who, you know, really took the league by storm and kind of, you know, fell off, but he's underrated, man. And when you have Sammy Watkins out there, he's kind of like my Patriots when you had Danny Amendola. He was just kind of a guy who made plays and was kind of underrated, maybe wasn't your number one, but if they're also missing Watkins, and then you also look at Mahomes scrambling. If he's got, you know, concussion symptoms or is just cleared, but he's playing and his toe is hurting, you know, if the Bills can flood the field, contain the passing game, and then, you know, can Mahomes run for that, you know, when it's fourth or when it's, you know, 3rd and 9, can he pick up 12, that sort of thing?
He's not running.
He's not running for it. So I think, you know, how does that, Leslie Frazier on D, you know, how does he attack that? So I'm right there with you, Pritch.
Yeah, I mean, just put the pressure on Mahomes, or even if it's Henny. You know, if you're Buffalo, you can play your game. You're one-dimensional, throwing the football offensively. You like to throw the football. You trust Josh Allen to be able to take care of the football. So play your game. Don't worry about trying to have this ball-controlled offense and try to neutralize the time possession in terms of how Kansas City is going to be on the field, because I don't know if that'll matter if Patrick Mahomes, he's not going to be 100% from a toe standpoint, certainly from recovering from a concussion. So opportunities for you to score offensively for the over, and then Kansas City is going to be in that situation where they're going to have to put Mahomes in that pocket and see what happens. And then, so if you're Buffalo, from the scrambling drill situation, you got cover guys, White, and then you have the best safety combination too. So Leslie Frazier, that kind of plays into the Buffalo Bills' hands a little bit. It sounds strange to think that you want to have Mahomes throw the ball that many times, but not 100%. It doesn't sound strange when you think about it a little more.
Totally agree, Pritch. And again, how do you attack? You know, do you double Tyreek Hill? Do you double Kelsey? You know, it gives you different options if you know or think that Mahomes won't be able to scramble and is dealing with that foot issue. You know, I'm just looking at, you know, some other trends here. You look at conference championship games, NFC, AFC, over the past decade or so, the overs have done well. You know, this is something that we've seen pretty consistently year to year. Again, we only get two per year, but you're looking over the last decade, they're about 60% to the over. And Pritch, you made a good point with the weather here. You know, we think of, you know, Lambeau, which we'll get to that game in a second. It's probably going to be snowy and, you know, cold. And, you know, it's great for Rodgers, but Brady's used to that too. We look at Arrowhead. it's going to be a pretty nice day. You know, the weather could change, obviously, but as of now, you're looking like high 40s. It may even reach 50. Not much wind at all. No precipitation. So a lot of these trends bode well to maybe a higher scoring game in this one.
What about the crowd, too? They said 16,000. I don't believe that. The Arrowhead, they had to have over 20,000 at least at that game against the Browns.
Yeah, seriously. And then you look at Bill's Mafia, and what do they have, 6,000? It sounded like, 100,000 there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's going to be a great weekend here, Pritch. And, the other thing to keep in mind is, with Buffalo 2.5, again, I'd wait. Maybe it gets higher, but that's some teaser opportunity area as well. Remember the 2.5 to the 8.5? That's something we always look for, so keep an eye on that. But I'm excited, Pritch. It's going to be a great weekend here, and hope you have no plans on Sunday because we'll be sweating all day.
Yes, we will. I plan to sweat because I plan to bet these games, conference championship games. These are the matchups we all want it for sure. And I wonder how many people from Bills Mafia show up in Kansas City trying to get tickets because they know that stadium's open right now. That could be a difference, too. So I know the Raiders earlier this year, they had some fans out there in Arrowhead as they beat the Chiefs. In Arrowhead. Up next, we're going to get to the NBA. Surprises from last night's games. Will there be surprises tonight? That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Be sure to have your state-issued ID. Open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada with state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. You're going to love this app. VSiN is also reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And Josh, some surprises in the association last night. Golden State beating the Lakers, heavy underdog in that situation. Then the over, maybe not a surprise, the over, Bucks and the Nets. 240 was the total on that one, Josh.
Yeah, kind of crazy. I stayed up late there, Pritch. It's a glimpse into my life. I write the newsletter for the next morning, late night. I'm kind of one eye on the Lakers and Warriors game and tracking all these games. And yeah, that was a big hit there if you kind of took that contrarian spot there with the Warriors. And I think one thing you did like about the Warriors there, heavy betting on the Lakers, mm-hmm. yet the Lakers opened at -9 or -10 even at some shops, and they got down to 9.5. So you saw that line moving really toward the Warriors despite heavy betting on the Lakers. So again, big contrarian hit if you followed that, sharp reverse line move. And then also, looking at the Nets here, Pritch, Harden and Durant here, and they're supposed to get Kyrie back tomorrow. So
yeah,
that was a crazy one too, because you actually saw, believe it or not, kind of a late move there toward the Bucks. That kind of that count was a little bit split there. The public, hey, we're starting to love here. Obviously Durant and Harden together, but the Bucks are still one of the best, elite teams in the East. And that game opened at -2 and went to Bucks -4. So that move really didn't come true at all. But you did see the Nets just look great there with the two of them playing together. And I think Harden credited the fact that, they're older and more mature now. So keep an eye out here. And, hopefully Kyrie. Now it's like, will Kyrie mess this up? Will the chemistry's working? Will he step in? But the one thing I did want to mention, Pritch, another mm-hmm. game, the Spurs and the Blazers, because
right.
that's one thing to take away from yesterday. When I look at NBA line moves, obviously line moves are important, and I really laser focus on them because that's really going to tell you where respective money comes in. It's really pro money that moves numbers. The public really doesn't. But I always love it, and it's kind of a universal line move, a dog to a favorite line move. When you see a situation where, kind of injuries line up nicely, and again, I don't love betting based on injuries, but this is a factor to consider. You had Nurkic hurt for the Blazers. You also had McCollum out, and you saw that line with the Spurs, really sharp line. They opened +1, and they flipped to -2. So in those situations, I actually like to go money line. You know, it wouldn't have mattered. The Spurs, you know, won by 21 anyway. But in those spots, again, you don't want to lay a 1.5, a 2, have them win by 1, you lose. You could just, you know, take around a minus 120 money line. But that dog to favorite line move, hit with the Spurs, that's a system to keep an eye out for almost any sport that you bet on.
Okay, so we got a light schedule tonight, obviously. So OKC and Denver, this is a big number. Denver's laying 10, that total 220 and a half, I believe, out here in Vegas right now. And so, you know, OKC, familiar NBA names, but they haven't gotten it together, certainly to turn over on that roster, new coach. But then the Nuggets, Jokic is an MVP type of player. Jamal Murray, I think, hasn't had the year that he's wanted so far because of injury. But seemingly the Nuggets, they're going to figure it out at some point. But laying 10 points here, OKC, 220 and a half that total, Josh.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a lot of points here. And maybe the Nuggets going to all those game sevens and playing deep into the bubble and, you know, injuries. They're having a bit of a slow start here. So I am looking at possibly a value play here on the Thunder grabbing 10, because when you look at this line, it opened at Nuggets -9.5. Heavy, heavy betting here on the Nuggets at home. The line's now up to 10. But a lot of these 10s are now juiced up +10, -115 toward Oklahoma City. So that's telling you that you may see this line fall a little bit back to 9.5. So if you like the Thunder here, you may want to grab them now so you can get the 10 instead of a 9.5 if you wait. But two things to like about the Nuggets here, or to like about the Thunder here, Pritch. Number one, OKC has a big rest advantage. OKC hasn't played since the 15th here. They've been off since Friday, so they're pretty rested. Nuggets played two nights ago. Then also, the Nuggets are one of the worst teams ATS. They're 4-9 ATS. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like the Chiefs, Pritch. You know, they don't seem to be covering these numbers here. So if you want to bet this game, a little bit of value here, Thunder +10.
See, I knew you were going to have that angle. That's why I brought it up, because I was just waiting for the analysis on it. And I might play it before it moves. You said it's juiced up, so it might move here. I got time. I mean, 9:05 Eastern for the start of this one.
You know me too well, Pritch. We're buddies. This is great.
That's right. That's right. Looking forward to that. Also looking forward to this next segment. It's about hockey. I have not bet hockey before. I will. I know we had the playoffs, and they were in a bubble. But I did not participate. Brand new better at that point. But now I'm looking forward to betting hockey. Josh Applebaum is going to help me do that. I'm going to learn something this next segment. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You know what, if you're betting $22, hoping that a last second shot helps you to catch a ticket, well, we have a suggestion. Take the $22 and invest it in your sports betting success. Become a VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for less than just $22 per month. Here's what you get: the daily emails with great betting info, the 24/7 video access to all our experts, point spread weekly, and betting 101 strategy guides. You get all that. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Place a bet on yourself right now at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. And Josh, you know, hockey is a sport that I'm getting more and more into. I remember the days when the Avs landed in, they were the Nordiques, right? So they landed in Colorado. They won the cup. Right. And then you get Ray Bourque and you ruin the cup again. Right. And so it's crazy. Right. So and now we have the Knights out here in Vegas. Certainly the athleticism, the speed. I mean, their linebackers on ice sometimes. And that's incredible to me. So let's get into this hockey discussion, because I want to learn something from you. I know I will. And by the way, you can get to vsin.com/subscribe to for the VSiN NHL hockey guide. It's $9.99 right now. So but we're going to learn something here. Because we got some great matchups, I think. Hockey has just started, so help us out. Where do you start when you evaluate games, and certainly when you want to place a wager when it comes to hockey?
Yeah, so first off, Pritch, number one, again, this is kind of like bizarre world, because you know me as a contrarian bettor. I bet a lot of dogs. I bet a lot of unders, just knowing that the public will gravitate toward favorites, toward home teams. You're kind of playing that long game when you're a contrarian, leaning on a lot of dogs. Now, hockey is really different for me. Hockey, I play much more favorites. Okay. And the reason for that, number one, is that if you look kind of historically, just for hockey compared to other sports, you see a trend where favorites do better. And remember, when we're betting hockey, we're betting on the money line. So obviously there is the puck line, which is the spread. You can take the favorite -1.5, the dog +1.5, get different odds, obviously, depending on what side you're on. But when you're looking at favorites in the NHL, like for instance, this year, they're 26-16 to start the year, 62%. Now, if you're hitting 62% on a spread or an over-under bet, you're doing great because you're usually paying -110 juice around there. Mm-hmm. Hockey's different. Even though you're cashing 62% of your plays on favorites, remember, you're laying, you know, the Bruins -150, you know, the Knight -180. You're paying a higher price. So that 62% is meaningful because they win a lot of their games, but you're paying a higher price. So it's not as big of a payout as you would think. So a lot of things that I look at to layer that in to try to make it better. Number one is looking at road favorites. Obviously, this year is a situation where you really don't have fans in the stands. Historically, anyway, in hockey, road favorites have done pretty well. And also road favorites with a line move in their favor. Line moves are really important in hockey because there's no betting public really betting hockey. If you look at an NFL game versus an NHL game, you know, there really isn't any average Joe waking up saying, you know, I got to bet Ottawa and Winnipeg tonight versus like, you know, waking up and saying, you know, Bills Chiefs are on today. So keep that in mind that we're contrarian. That really doesn't mean anything. Line moves are important, but I'll give you one example tonight, Pritch. The other thing I look at in hockey is rest. It's a sport where having extra time off can really, really benefit you, especially if you are a favorite, especially if you are a road favorite, especially if you have a line move. So, for example, the Colorado Avalanche tonight, they're at the Los Angeles Kings. The Avs opened as a pretty big favorite here around -220. They're up to around -230. Now, again, you're laying a 230, which is a high number. You could go puck line here, which is the -1.5, try to get the +115. But Colorado would match a bunch of systems. They would be a favorite, a road favorite, and a road favorite with a lot of rest. They haven't played since the 15th. So putting it all together, that's just one match tonight that I would look for that I've pinpointed with the Avs.
Okay, what about totals? Approach there too, because you know style of play is everything right now in terms of the realignments and certainly the way that hockey is proceeding with their season. They have some COVID concerns even right now in the early part of this season as well. So from a total standpoint, how do you approach that?
Yeah, and you're right, Pritch. You know, Carolina, Nashville, that was going to be played tonight. There's some COVID right. issues with the Hurricanes, so hopefully we get that resolved here. But I'll be honest, I don't bet a lot of totals in hockey, only because there's a lot of variables and a lot of unpredictability. Right. And again, the empty net goal, Pritch. You know, you could have an under five, and it's a 3-1 game, and then empty net goal. You know, and you lose your player, you push. But one thing I would mention, and it did cash yesterday with a couple different games, including Winnipeg and Toronto and Montreal and Edmonton, is under 6.5. To me, that's kind of a magic number a little bit. You rarely see 6.5s back in the day. Now, with more scoring, you see more 6.5 totals. But 6.5 unders when the juice is really leaning on that under. So 6.5 under -120, you know, -125. It may even fall to 6. If you can find the hook on those spots, that's where I've had a little success earlier in the year and in the past few years. So one that would match would be the Blackhawks and the Florida Panthers. That total opened 6.5 pretty much even. The juice is now 6.5. Under -120, -125. So again, I lean more on these favorite type situations, but if you like sweating totals, to me, my go-to is that under 6.5 with juice on the under.
Yeah, I was looking at that game too, because who's between the pipes is also important. I know, teams are kind of loading up on the goalie situation, in particular out here with the Knights, Leonard and Fleury, right? I mean, you're thinking from that standpoint, Knights off to a great start too. So what about Buffalo Philly? I mean, do you have any leans on this game? I mean, this one's interesting to me as well.
Yeah, so we were just talking a lot of favorites. This is kind of a live dog tonight. You know, this is interesting because Buffalo won 6-1 yesterday, and Philly's a great team, and that was a huge hit if you took Buffalo yesterday. They were pretty sharp too, around +140 to like +125. But kind of, it looks like Philly's got to bounce back. They're the much better team. Back-to-backs. That's the other thing, Pritch. You know, how will the scheduling affect these games? We're starting to see a little bit early on in terms of zigzag type stuff. But actually, if you look at this line move, this is a huge move to Buffalo. If you want to bet a dog tonight, the Sabres have moved from like +135 down to around +115, +120. So you're seeing a lot of line movement there toward Buffalo. And again, These back-to-back spots, again, we don't really know how they're going to kind of transition and move throughout this year, but that is one game where Buffalo seems to be getting hit. Also, Pritch, keep an eye on the Pittsburgh Penguins. They've moved around minus 120 to minus 135 at home. And also the Columbus Blue Jackets. That was around a minus 160 up to minus 180 at Detroit.
See, that line movement is highly important. It really is, especially when you're talking about the money line situation. Buffalo plus 120 out here in Vegas, Josh. See, I knew you weren't going to disappoint me on this. I learned a ton right there in a short amount of time.
And we got more. We got more. And our guy, Andy McNeil at Beeson, he is the best. So make sure you get that NHL betting guide. It's awesome. But Pritch, I'm a Bruins guy. You're I don't know if you're an Avs or a Vegas Knights guy. Either way, we got to sweat hockey.
Yes, we do. I'm looking forward to sweating hockey. I think it's going to be fun. Abs, I think this nostalgia part there, because I was in Colorado at the time. Now that the Knights are in Vegas, definitely want to cheer for the Knights a little bit more. Maybe place a bet there as well. Up next, we're going to get to Bruce Marshall, editor of the Gold Sheet. He's going to join the program right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Everybody, sign up with BetMGM and get your first deposit matched up to $250 with bonus code VSIN250. Discover BetMGM's parlay selection features, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app today to get this exclusive offer for VSIN listeners. Use bonus code VSIN250 and they'll match your first deposit up to $250. It's a new customer offer and is paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old, located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 800-522-4700. Colorado, Nevada, 800. Gambler, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and 800. Bets off in Iowa. And Tennessee, call or text a red line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum, and happy to bring on to the program Bruce Marshall. He's the editor of the Gold Sheet. Bruce, how are you?
Hey, Mike. Pretty good. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Doing great. Great to talk to you. Thank you again for the time. College basketball, we're getting through it. Some COVID concerns, some layoffs, but we are getting through it. Alabama's off to a great start this year. Certainly, they're ranked in the top 20. They got LSU. Your thoughts on this matchup between Bama and LSU?
I think this is going to be the most fun game to watch tonight. And look at some of LSU's score lines lately. Pretty high, and they got this total up there in the low 160s. But what LSU's been doing the last couple weeks, they're picking up three-quarters court. Their defense is wreaking some havoc, and it's causing some easier baskets the other way for the Tigers. So their score lines have been up a little bit. By the way, that was a brutal non-cover. They almost weren't going to get there. On Saturday against South Carolina, they got a technical foul up. It looked like they were ready to cover the number, and they had the ball out of bounds, and Watford got the technical right at the end on an out-of-bounds play. Nonetheless, they're hot. But I think Alabama's got a shot to go in there and make this thing very, very interesting tonight with its ability to keep control of the ball and maybe be able to slow down Cameron Thomas a little bit, the freshman for LSU who has really come on like gangbusters here. Even with this total up there in the low 160s, I think this game can still get over that. I look for this game to be played in the 80s tonight. It's very close and over still my call, even with this high total.
Bruce, this is Josh Applebaum, and yeah, you're spot on here because this LSU-Alabama game, it opened pretty much a coin flip game. It was -1 LSU to start. It flipped at one point to Alabama -1. Now it's looking like it may even close at a pick 'em. And you're right with that total. That thing opened like 163. It's up to 165. And Alabama is one of the fastest-paced teams in the country. But I wanted to ask you about Seton Hall-Villanova here, Bruce, because looking at this game here, we did see a slight line move here a little bit towards Seton Hall on the road. Obviously, they're an unranked team going into face number 3 Nova here, but a lot of these lines did open around Nova -9.5. They're down to 9. I'm seeing some shops at 8.5. Any lean here on the spread and then also the total? Wondering if you like the under at all. It's around 140. It's down to 139.5, and Nova is one of the slowest teams in the country.
Yeah, I could see an under here, Josh, and maybe even a little bit to Seton Hall. This is one of these games, you and I think Mike referred to it right at the start, some teams that have been off of some COVID delays, and Villanova's right in that wheelhouse there. It's been since before Christmas that they've played. They've had several games postponed here, so we just haven't gotten a chance to look at the Wildcats for a while here. Let's see if they get everybody on the court here tonight. If Seton Hall can clamp down early, get off to a strong start, I think the Pirates might be able to hang in there. They are 6-2 in Big East play. They managed a split of this series last year. Mama Kashvili, I think I said the name right, really did some damage against Villanova last year. And I think there's a chance this game, lower scoring, and maybe Seton Hall hangs in there. Again, we haven't seen Villanova in a while, and I think Seton Hall's a pretty live dog tonight at the Pavilion.
We're speaking with Bruce Marshall. He's the editor of the Gold Sheet. You can follow him on Twitter at Bruce A. Marshall. Bruce, I want to get into the Mountain West Conference because we want to cast some tickets, and I think you have some outstanding insight here. When we look at CSU and Utah State, I call it Aggie on Aggie crime, even though there's the Rams now. They used to be the Aggies way back in the day, CSU. CSU is catching about 8 points here. That total is 141.5 as well. How do you see this one?
Yeah, I mean, CSU is better than I thought this year, and they've been hanging in there very good for Nico. But I'll tell you, Utah State is something special here. And what the UTAGs have that nobody else in this league has is Nyamis Keita down below. And there's not many teams in the country with a guy like this. You know, guys who play basketball, what really unnerves them is somebody who blocks shots. And not just blocks them, but alters shots. And Keita just closes down the paint. He's one of the nation's leading shot blockers. If there was a shot-altering category, he'd be right there. And you just don't get anything around the bucket against Utah State. And they're kind of lengthy anyway. But when you've got a guy like this who is a – he's like a goalie back there. I mean, he's blocking shots at the rim. That's helped Utah State go under 5 in a row. And Utah State is on this great win streak, too. They have won and covered 9 in a row right now. And they've been dominating these teams in the Mountain West. San Diego State was the only team got within single digits of them thus far. That 5-point game, which Utah State still won and covered under again. But with Keita down low, I think Colorado State is just going to have to do most of its business outside. I'm not sure they're varied enough to do it. So we're going to lean a little bit to Utah State. And I'd still go under 141.5. That's a lot of points for a Utah State team that usually has been giving up in the 40s and 50s in Mountain West play.
Bruce, I wanted to throw at you an ACC game tonight, 7 o'clock, pretty heavily bet matchup, Miami, Florida, and Syracuse here. Was intriguing to me in this matchup. You look at kind of how these teams are trending. You have, you know, Miami 6-6, Cuse is 7-4, but Cuse has lost 2 straight. They've lost 3 of 4. They struggle a little bit here. I think the public says, hey, it's Syracuse. It's the Orange, man. They're going to bounce back and really roll here. But we actually have seen a pretty big move to Miami here. You saw this line open Syracuse around -6. This line is now down to 4.5. Do you agree with that move? Do you think that move has any sharp action behind it? And just how would you cap this Miami-Cuse game?
Yeah, we lean to Miami a little bit here. And then the fear is what you mentioned, that maybe Syracuse bottomed out in that game over the weekend against Pitt. They got blown out on the road. But as also their 4th straight non-cover, this doesn't look like a vintage Jim Boeheim edition. I mean, the zone, I mean, we saw this last year. He was starting to play some man last year. This is not a great Syracuse defensive team. They're not clamping people down. They are also not shooting threes that well. And Jim should should look at his son, Buddy, is one of the reasons. Buddy's about 27% beyond the arc. He's close to 40% last year. So they're not stretching the floor. They're not hitting threes like they used to. And Miami, I'll tell you what, Jim Larrañaga has done a really good job considering some of the injury problems that they've had. Their best player, Chris Lykes, has been out since the first week of the season. And they've had other injury issues as well. But Isaiah Wong has really emerged as a scoring threat out of the backcourt, scoring almost 18 per game. I'm not sure if McJustie is going to be back in the lineup tonight. Timberlake, another one of the perimeter weapons, the freshman, is supposed to be there for Larrañaga. But except for the BC game, Miami's been very competitive this year. And they won a game at NC State a couple weeks ago out on the road. I think they got a shot here tonight. So, yeah, I'd give Miami a shot. And let's make Syracuse do something before we jump on the bandwagon or we jump on the orange, because they've been going cold here for the last couple weeks.
All right, Bruce, let's get back to the SEC. It's not Alabama, LSU, but it is Ole Miss and Mississippi State here. This one opened Mississippi State minus two. Mississippi State now laying 2.5 out here, 129.5 as well on this total. What do you see in this matchup?
I like this one tonight, and I like Mississippi State for a couple of reasons. One, the home court really was important in this Magnolia State matchup last year, Mike. Each team won by 25 on its home court. Now, this is at the Hump tonight, so it's down in Starkville. They blew that game last week against Texas A&M, and I've got a little concern about Mississippi State shooting its free throws. They're in the low 60% range shooting their free throws, which is a concern. But they provide a very awkward matchup for a lot of teams. They are so lengthy out there on the perimeter. We saw Missouri really fall apart in the second half a couple weeks ago. And with Molinar and Stewart, Molinar especially has come on as a big-time scorer this year. He's scoring about 18 per game, and Stewart, plus the Western Kentucky transfer, Tolu Smith, 27 points and 14 boards the other day, 6'10". They have got plenty of size here. They are bigger across the perimeter than Ole Miss. And down low, with Tolu and Otto, who's more really anchored by the bucket, this team has got some size, and I think Ole Miss, smaller in the backcourt, they're going to have trouble shooting over these guys. And I think Mississippi State, as long as they don't blow free throws down the stretch, will win and cover this game tonight at home. I think Ben Howland's team is very, very sneaky good. And I'd keep an eye on these guys really making some noise in the SEC the second half of the season.
Hey, Bruce, only got about a minute and a half left here, but I want to throw a random one at you that I don't know if anyone's really looking at here, but Radford and Campbell out of the Big South here. But what's intriguing to me with this game is, number one, anytime you have an added extra game that's under the radar the public isn't looking at, line moves to me are really meaningful because it's probably guys like you who have an edge who are betting these games, moving these numbers. So I did see a little bit of move here toward Radford on the road. They open around minus one. They're up to minus two. Some shops are even plus one to minus two. So move here to Radford. I was wondering if you agreed with that or your take on this this Big South matchup.
Yeah, Josh, we did agree with it. In fact, we released Radford last night as a play to look at. And you're right, they did reschedule this. These teams weren't supposed to meet until early February, but they've had some COVID issues in the Big South there, so they shuffled this around. This team is really good. And along with Winthrop, I think the two best teams in this league. Defense, Mike Jones's defense, I mean, they're allowing about 10 points per game fewer than anybody else in this league. And you've seen them really choke off some of their recent foes in this four-game winning cover streak. And I'm not sure Campbell's going to be able to go over the hump. Watch Famir Ali, the freshman guard for Radford. But, yes, we like the Highlanders tonight.
Bruce Marshall, editor of the Gold Sheet. It's always a delight to have you on the program. Bruce, thanks so much.
Okay, Michael, thank you.
Absolutely. Great information right there from Bruce Marshall. That'll do it for hour number one. Hour number two is coming up right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.